welcome to Sports Odds and Ends, the show for the fly-by-night sports fans. I am your host, King Kaz. I'm joined by my good friend and co-host, the one great JVZ.
Good to be here. We got a lot of stuff. Things are kicking off again on multiple fronts. Let's just get right into it with football. As I think somebody on this show called it at some point, but Cam Newton just signed. Cam Newton just signed with the Patriots yesterday for a minimum contract, and I think when he got released, or as everybody had known he was going to be released, I'm pretty sure everybody kind of flippantly called this potential move happening, just because it's such a Patriots move to go in and get somebody that nobody, that like the rest of the league is given up on for some reason, and turn them back into a superstar. We thought, I think some of us thought it was going to happen with Jameis Winston, but it's turned out to be Cam Newton instead, who's had a much better career than Jameis Winston, at least so far.
So he's going to the Patriots to replace Tom Brady, or at least for 1 year, he's going to be on the Patriots. The things are the surprise. A lot of people were surprised by this. And the discussion of the 1 year contract, a lot of people have been talking about on Twitter, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a former MVP of this league. So, and on one hand, it's also kind of, it was a little bit surprising to see the Panthers give up on him.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, to see nobody else want to pick him up at the same time. He is kind of coming off of injuries, but at the same time, he is a former MVP. He's a very talented player. He's capable of both throwing and running with the ball. And you're seeing that a lot more with a lot of offenses around the league, with guys like, you know, the Lamar Jacksons of the world. It's you would think somebody would want to take a chance on this guy, but it's taken. I mean, NFL free agency has been going for months now, and it's taken up until this time for this move to actually happen. And it's a minimum contract. There are incentives, so. So if he balls out and they win a Super Bowl or something, then never count out the Patriots when it comes to that.
So, but can I pose a few questions to the panel? And if DJM wants to jump in on this one, I would fucking love it. One of the things that I saw that I laughed at all day while I was at work was, oh, does this now put Mahomes on the spot? Like, does Cam being on the Patriots, on a team that's like really gonna be there for him, make it harder for Kansas City?
Yeah, no. That's like, I mean, this Patriots team.
No, Kaz.
Look, they're
I didn't ask the question. This is Twitter. I'm Twitter right now.
They're a well-coached team, but they are missing a lot of pieces. And quarterback was probably the most glaring one. But I think, you know, they also don't have a lot of other offensive weapons. So it might be the case where Cam Newton is the entire offense for a year. And we'll see. Maybe they. Yeah, I mean, the timing of this is kind of weird. I mean, the fine timing of it, it seems like the announcement was made at the same time that the Patriots were penalized a third round pick for filming the sidelines last year during a Bengals and Browns game. Obviously there's history with filming and Spygate and all that. But at the same time, I'm not willing to believe that they're going to get anything meaningful from filming a Bengals or a Browns game. So,
all right. Wow, that's disrespectful. These are NFL teams, JVC. I'll have you know. All right.
I just feel like there's bigger fish to fry there for the Patriots. But the timing came out at roughly the same time. So that on its own was a little suspicious. But as far as like, why did they wait until until the end of June to sign Cam Newton. You know, what was it, something that they saw in Jared Stidham, who that indicated that he wasn't going to be ready for the season? I don't know, but yeah, this is a very low risk, potentially high reward move by the Patriots. And I don't know, they keep pulling shrewd moves like this, and to the point where everybody can scope these moves out like months in advance and see that, you know, they're going to get Cam Newton, they're going to get Antonio Brown or whatever, like these cast offs just eventually end up there. And I didn't realize it, but apparently the Patriots are going to get a third round compensatory pick if Cam Newton does end up leaving. So that's, you know, so maybe that'll make up for the third round pick they lost.
Okay.
You know, that's,
I mean, let's do this, right? Looking at the landscape of the teams as we know them right now, as we know what their rosters to be, fucking Tom Brady on the Buccaneers, Kansas City still being the team that it is, now Cam Newton, the de facto quarterback of the Patriots, at least for this year, the garbage Giants, and Daniel Jones. Does this mean anything? Like, is this going to be the biggest thing of the season, if there is a season?
I don't think so. I mean, if anything, I think if the Patriots were hoping to tank, I think this definitely hurts them.
Yeah.
I think like this is a move that might get them back into the playoffs, which will just be good for, you know, tradition. But yeah, I think there's too many heavy hitters in the AFC for this to make a huge dent between the Chiefs and the Ravens and I'll even throw in the Titans in there.
What the fuck?
You know, I mean, I look, I'm a believer in Ryan Tannehill, so they paid him a shit ton of money. I don't know if he's worth that much money, but he balled out at the end of last year, and
I'm not.
DJ is a believer in Derrick Henry.
DJ tries to say I'm leaving out the Ravens and the Lamar Jackson experience. It's a show you go to before the show. Okay, like the Ravens are a great team to look at during the season, but when it actually comes time, they are okay. I like Lamar Jackson. I think Lamar Jackson is great. I never have and never will believe in the Ravens, except for
Derrick Henry. But he also touched the ball a lot last year, and we normally see running backs fall off a cliff when that happens. So that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
Yeah. So overall, it'll be a pretty interesting NFL season. We've seen Cam Newton, Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, all three of them change teams. And those guys are kind of institutions in a way. So so it'll be a very interesting new look NFL and Nick Foles. A lot of living legends playing on other teams.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from there, we're going to talk about the weirdness in the room, and that is everything that was going on with Bubba Wallace at Talladega Speedway. So we talked about the shift that NASCAR was making. They're evicting one set of fandom for probably a newer, wider fandom by pushing Bubba Wallace, by being behind Bubba Wallace, especially with all the civil distress going on in the country. Definitely putting their black driver on a pedestal is great media fodder. And we love to say here, you got to get ahead of the story. And I think NASCAR as an organization has been one of the best at getting ahead of the story. But they did have some sort of controversy. Well, they've had a couple of things of controversy. One is getting rid of the Confederate flag and banning it from all of their events. And then the second bit of controversy was there was a rope in the garage area that was knotted in a way that it looked like a noose. So that was something, and NASCAR said that they were going to investigate, and the FBI got involved as well and into the investigation. And then it later came out that the noose was a used as a release for the garage doors in that area. And that has caused a bunch of controversy. That has caused a bunch of controversy on one side of people being like, oh, look what NASCAR has become, this cookie cutter thing where they're super protective and everything is something. And all these people defending the original NASCAR fans and then using that as a way to defend the Confederate flag, which, man, those people spin harder than I do. I don't know how they did that, but they spun that shit around to be like, see, this is why we need the Confederate flag. And people on the other side who went, no, there's a legitimate reason and a legitimate reason to have pause of concern and to do your due diligence and to go through all these things just to make sure, because of the amount of civil distress going on in this country, because of the amount of outright racism that is becoming more forefront, not that it was never there. So NASCAR, for the most part, NASCAR and Bubba Wallace have kind of moved past it. They've said their piece. Kind of at this point, it's the old guard who are still arguing these things, and like, there are even people demanding an apology. I don't even know what you're demanding an apology for, but there are people out there doing that. I don't know. It's a weird situation.
I mean, just to frame the entire thing, you know, nationwide and back up a little bit. I might be a little bit low on this number, but I think there are at least 5 instances in the last couple weeks of Black people being found hanging from trees around the country. Just in the last couple of weeks, straight up lynched, and the police have you know, just automatically called them suicides without, you know, further investigation. I think like at least 5. And if there's more that, you know, that I haven't seen yet, maybe, I don't know, but it's at least 5 of them. So to see such an overt symbol of racism in the only Black driver's garage at a time like this, like, obviously everybody got concerned, and you know, and everybody reacted accordingly. Because, you know, I mean, even like, racism aside, like, you got to protect your drivers. So this became a safety issue. And that's why the investigation took place. If you want to call it an overreaction, that's why the overreaction took place. It was a legitimate overreaction. So you can see the pictures that NASCAR's posted. And, you know, this isn't like somebody, you know, tied the end of a rope into a loop. Like, this was a straight up noose.
Yeah.
And it's been there. Like, the reason that they've been able to rule that this was not a direct targeted attack on Bubba Wallace is because there's photographs of that noose being there since October 2019. But it is a noose. You know, it's all the other garages have pull ropes. Or not all of them, but like, a lot of other garages have pull ropes, and, you know, some of them are tied in knots. None of them are tied in a knot like that.
Yeah.
Except for this one. And it just happened to be the one that it just happened to be for the garage that was assigned to Bubba Wallace. You know, even if you believe that Bubba Wallace wasn't a specific target, he's not a victim of a hate crime here, then there's still something fishy about this. So You know, otherwise, it's just a weird coincidence. And if it is just a weird coincidence, then there's still, like, you can't just assume coincidence in something like this. You still have to investigate. You still have to, if you overreact and you keep your driver safe, then I think it's worth that overreaction. It's just an investigation. And the investigation was quick, and they were able to settle it quickly. So it's not like, you know, it's not like a whole bunch of resources were wasted on this. It's and so if, you know, like NASCAR, they're trying to change their image and they're trying to take this issue seriously. So they took it seriously, the first incident that came up. And so it's, you know, we were waiting and seeing whether this, you know, whether they were doing stuff just for, whether it was just for PR, whether it was just going to be a one-time thing where they just make a statement, but then they never do anything else afterwards. This time they mobilized the first issue that came up, and they, you know, put their effort where their mouth was. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a non-story in the end, but it's also, it's a story that, you know, sticks out when it among the overall landscape of the country as a whole.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where else to go with that. Let's talk about some baseball.
Well, also, we got one other racing story. F1 is resuming this weekend, this coming weekend. So if you were looking forward to that, got two races coming up in Austria back to back.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got money on this. So.
This is the only reason JVZ brings up.
No, I mean, look, I got fully into F1 last year, so I'm, yeah, I'm looking forward to it this year.
We here at Sports Odds and Ends only talk about gambling and betting for entertainment purposes only. Thank you.
Yes. No, not remotely related to the show title. All right, baseball and softball. I'll start with the softball part. I think there's been a lot of talk about, like, the NWSL being, like, the first team sport back, but I guess it's kind of the first league back, because the actual first team sport to come back in the United States is softball. And two independent teams, the USSSA Pride, playing out of Florida, and the Scrapyard Dogs playing out of Texas. These used to be teams that were part of the National Pro Fast Pitch Softball League, but I think they both left the league within the last couple of years. The Pride are actually the reigning champions, but they left after the 2019 season, and the NPF has actually canceled their season, but these two teams are still, they still exist independently, so they just decided to play each other a bunch of times. They're scheduled to play like 12 games or so in Florida, and then 12 more in Texas later on. They played one game last Thursday, and then the GM for Scrapyard, sent out a tweet that was pretty controversial, something anthem related, aimed at President Trump, saying like, "Hey, look, everybody's standing," something like that. When the players found out about that after the game, they were not very happy, and you know, that resulted in like an hour long argument that then ended with everybody quitting. The entire Scrapyard Dogs team quit. We're talking like 18 players or so. So then that kind of put the rest of this series of games in jeopardy. But that former Scrapyard team is now reformed under the name This Is Us. And they've actually raised a ton of money to kind of keep the team going from fan contributions, I think on GoFundMe, if I'm correct on that. But at least 30,000 or so to keep going once people found out about this. And so they're going to, I mean, they've resumed playing just these two teams playing against each other, and I think they'll resume with their series in Texas as well.
So all that's awesome. The scary part for me is this is a team from Texas and a team from Florida, where right now I don't remember if Texas is still really high, but I know
it is.
I know Florida is real high on the Corona.
it's
up there, man.
Yeah, so I don't know how well these players are adhering to the bubble, but the thing is, like, this is like they're not in a league. We're talking about like 36 players or so, and then 50 people maybe max. So they can kind of control themselves or police themselves, hopefully. I shouldn't say hopefully, just because it seems like most of America's ability to police itself has been under scrutiny lately. It's like they don't have to organize a whole league around this and do all the logistics that like the NBA has to go through to set up their bubble.
That is then on personal accountability, right? Yep. Like, and I think would I trust somebody I would pay to catch me doing criminal activity more than I would trust myself to call me. This is why I don't play golf. This is why I don't play golf, JJ.
You can't self-report.
No.
I think because this is going to be like the only softball that they get to play all year because, you know, the league's been canceled and all that. So I feel like to some extent they don't want to ruin that. And so I'm pretty sure that like they do have like rules in place within each team that they want to follow. They want to adhere to those. I don't know how strong of a testing protocol or anything like that. But in the end, like it's. You know, these are just two independent teams, so it is easier for them to put together stuff like this than having to wrangle an entire league together to figure things out. Unfortunately, it's like you have to watch these two teams play over and over again. But I think
I mean, when a league does come back, these are going to be two really prepared teams.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see like the future of this is us team now that they've chosen to shed the Scrapyard Dogs banner and play under a whole new name. It's like we've seen team walkouts before, but like, you know, we never, since there's so much like legal stuff centered around leagues in general and like which teams get to play, like if everybody on the New York Knicks decided to walk out, like they couldn't just form another team and play the Nets the next day. Like this is only something you can do because these are two independent teams. Maybe the Knicks should do that. I don't know.
God, that would be amazing. I don't care where they go. I would follow.
All right. Well, baseball is actually coming back. We've gone back and forth on this about whether it's coming back or whether it's not. And turns out the owners were kind of just delaying until they could only fit a 60 game season in. Turns out that's how many games they can.
Of all the things, right? Can we just talk about how baseball is just becoming just outright like America, right? America as a place is just becoming outright shitty. Baseball is just becoming outright fucking petty, man.
Yeah. They gave out so many different offers that were all equivalent to 37% of what they would have paid the players. And so now what they finally settled on is 37% of the full season salary. which is what they're going to get paid for playing 60 games with their full salaries prorated. What they also tried to do was expand the playoffs, which I think owners pocket almost all the money from the playoffs. Players just get like a small bonus for playoff games, but it's not anywhere near proportional to what they make salary wise during the regular season. So that's why owners like playoffs, because they get to make a shit ton of money from that. And I think they get all their national TV revenue from that as well. A lot of playoff stuff is not subject to revenue sharing with the players. So they tried to expand the playoffs to get more games out of that. So every deal that they tried to throw out was to try to screw over the players, until finally they reached a point where they realized the players were not going to relent on any of that. So they basically got the deal that they or the basic agreement that they agreed to months ago, and could have had a longer season, but no, we're just going to have a regular 60 game or not regular, but we're going to have a 60 game season and standard 10 team playoffs like last year. There's been a COVID protocol agreed to, with players getting tested every other day and symptom checks twice a day. And if you're not going to be playing, then you got to go sit up in the stands, and then some antibody testing, which I think is for if you tested positive at some point and you have antibodies, then you get to see when they wear out. Because nobody is really certain on whether anybody has immunity or not.
That's been like one of the weirdest things I've always been hearing people talk about, and I have no idea. I don't know shit about science stuff.
Yeah, and at this point, I think the science is still out on that. So that's all these sports leagues trying to resume at the same time, while the science is still settling, it's a little unsettling. But yeah, no player can return if they test positive until they get two negative tests at least 24 hours apart. That's the basics. A couple players are opting out. Ryan Zimmerman, Joe Ross from the Nationals, Mike Leake from the Diamondbacks. I'm sure more names will.
There's that. There's the players who are opting out. There's the things like, what do you do about teams that are in, once again, the high traffic areas, Texas, Florida, Arizona, places like that? What do you do about your Canadian teams with Canada shutting down the borders? There were so many more questions than answers, especially going into this, because of how certain states are handling things as opposed to others. Like there's still so many questions to be answered, and I don't know if we could actually do any of this year, and I don't know if we're just shooting at hope. Like I feel like everybody's just trying to rush back to normal, and I just, to a certain extent, I feel like it's unnecessary. I feel like we just kind of need to just sit on our hands and just wait.
Yeah. So as far as you bring up the timeline, players are going to have to report on July 24th, which is in about a month. And then players report to, or no, that's when games are going to start. Players are going to report to camp July 1st, which is this week. So they are doing this pretty quick. They've ironed down like just the basic framework very quick. And I'm sure something's going to happen that's going to throw a wrench into all this. Buried in all this, they've actually instituted a couple rule changes. The runner on second base to start extra innings, since they're cramming so many games together, they want to make them quicker. And then the universal designated hitter, which has been kind of a point of contention for a long time, that kind of just got thrown in here. It's become an afterthought because of all the COVID stuff, but yeah, we're finally seeing the designated hitter in the National League. So,
all right.
So maybe no more pitchers batting. which different people have different opinions on, but
yeah, we've talked about it here. It's split the show before.
All right, so basketball. I mean, we've talked about players opting out in baseball. The WNBA season is not a whole lot of details about when it's going to kick off soon, but already a lot of big names have come out and said that they're just not going to play. Jonquel Jones, Natasha Cloud, LaToya Sanders, and then the Sparks have been hit pretty hard with Chinee Ogbuike and Christy Tolliver sitting out this year. So Christy Tolliver is actually also an assistant coach for the Wizards, so I don't know whether she's planning on joining the Washington Wizards when they join the NBA bubble as well. But I'm not sure whether that factored into her decision or whether she's going to opt out of both. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like we've already got a bunch of big names saying like it's not worth it to come play a 22 game season. So
yeah, and I mean that's kind of where my stance is on a lot of this. Like, as much as I would love to see sports come back, I just don't feel like we're there yet. You know. So like we have all these names in the WNBA, and there is a growing list of names in the NBA of players opting out as well. Like,
yeah.
Trevor Ariza, like,
yeah. And it's not just it's not just COVID in general, but like Trevor Ariza is opting out because of the bubble nature of, you know, you enter the bubble, you can't leave.
Right.
And so like his 1 month visitation with the son was scheduled during this time. So he's opting to spend time with the son because that's more important.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, Davis Bertans is a free agent and he doesn't want to risk injury, and the Wizards are probably not going to make the playoffs. So it's not really worth it.
Willie
Cauley-Stein is expecting a baby. Avery Bradley, I think, is the biggest name on this list because he's kind of the third wheel to the Lakers championship hopes. And when you consider that he's being replaced by J.R. Smith, I mean, that's a pretty big drop off. And so the Lakers championship hopes kind of took a big hit this year or with this news. It's also DeAndre Jordan just announced that he tested positive, so he's not going to be joining the Nets when they enter the bubble. So it's, yeah, I mean, maybe J.R. Smith redemption starts now.
No, but don't start that.
We're not even in a year that is weird as hell in 2020. Mm-hmm. Can you really say finals NBA finals MVP J.R. Smith is really out of the question?
Yes. It's
totally not out of the
question. No, it's totally out of the question.
It's, yeah, I'll file this under wait and see. So it's
you can hold me to this. If J.R. Smith, I don't know what a, like, I'll do something. Just, like, no, I'm not going to eat anything. I never say that because that's just setting yourself up for failure.
You should buy a Knicks jersey. That's what you have to do.
I'm going
to
make you do.
Oh my God. That's actually bad.
Praise Daniel Jones for 3 minutes.
I can praise Daniel Jones all day, but buying a Knicks jersey actually sucks in this, because that, I know that money is going directly to fucking going to the devil.
I'll let you off easy. Praise the Giants for 3 minutes on the podcast. Yeah,
but we're not vindictive on this show.
No, I'll buy the jersey and I'll
no,
the
all right. At this point, okay. You're just volunteering for it. It's,
all right. You're that's on you.
You're voluntarily entering the bubble.
I'll buy a Knicks jersey with Dolan's name on it.
Okay. All right. Now I'm saying you're going full mask off, Cass. Don't do that. That's too far.
All right, let's continue the news. So 16 players have also tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, that was before DeAndre Jordan announced, and a couple other players just announced. It was 16 before, and
so now we're closer to 20.
Yeah.
But
I mean, most of these guys are going to recover by then, but
yeah, but they, oh, okay. Oh man. Like,
but
see,
yeah,
I
you also don't know whether they're going to have, you know, lung damage or other things. Like Rudy Gobert just came out and said, you know, and he was the first one. And he came out and said he still does not have his sense of smell back. He got a sense of taste back at least. So he gets to taste that nice Disney food, but he's not going to be able to smell anything while he's there. And they're still waiting for that to come back. And doctors are telling him that it might take a year, but like nobody really knows because we're less than a year into this thing. So it's, you know, so many questions, are up in the air right now. And, you know, how, you know, I mean, three of these players that tested positive are on the Kings. So it's, you know, it's worrying for me. Like Jabari Parker, one of them was spotted playing tennis outside without a mask on the other day. And it's like, well, he's obviously not taking it seriously, even though he's actually already tested positive. So
he's already like, you know what, whatever, I'm already here. What else can go wrong?
It's, you know, and some of these players are not taking, like, there's two aspects of this. Like, yeah. A, you could catch it, which sucks, or B, you could spread it to somebody else. And people aren't taking the latter part seriously everywhere, not just NBA players, but you know, all around the country. And so it's, you know, your concerns regarding the softball team are valid, but also some of these NBA players are dumb as shit. And even though they do have a snitch line for them to report each other if they see somebody violating the quarantine protocol, I don't necessarily trust them to not violate it and then bring COVID back into the bubble and cause the whole thing to fall apart. So it'll be a very interesting wait and see. Let's move on to a tennis story about how serious this shit can get. Novak Djokovic tried to hold a tennis tour in four different cities around the Balkan region. Mm-hmm. You know, he got a couple of his professional friends, Dominic Thiem and Alexander Zverev, Grigor Dimitrov, Baron Cilic, I think is another big name. Just organizing a little tennis tournament around the region. And, but they allowed spectators in, like 4,000 people showed up to watch the first weekend in Belgrade. And in the middle of all this, they all went out partying and, you know, just going into a packed nightclub with who knows how many people have the virus. And sure enough, like nearly all of them came down with COVID. Djokovic himself, Dimitrov announced his positive test on this past Sunday, and that caused the entire tournament to get shut down. A couple other players, Djokovic's coach, Dimitrov's coach, Djokovic's wife, and another player's wife who happens to be pregnant. Like, you know, they had a full on outbreak in their little tennis circle. And, you know, all because they didn't take this seriously. So,
all right, it's not fun.
And their argument was that, you know, that Serbia wasn't hit very hard, by the outbreak. Okay. But it's like
the
virus is not gone.
Yeah, it just because you weren't hit that hard does not mean that you don't have it. Like, it's there. Like, it's there. Like, it just means that you weren't hit that hard. So, I don't know. This is just
a lot of people choosing to learn lessons the hard way.
Yeah,
watching other, like, even yes. after other people have learned lessons the hard way, and it's like,
yes. And I don't understand it. I don't understand why people choose to do these things this way when they could have done this so much smarter and so much better. And like, it would have been, I don't know. It would have been better if you just chose a better way to do this than the way
the easiest thing to do is to do nothing. And when you're rich, it's really easy to do nothing. Because you don't have to go out and work for, you know, to pay rent, you know, So
when we know that the whole fucking Balkan region falls apart, we know who to blame. All right, let's move from something that stupid to something really confusing. And that is how the NHL decided to handle its draft. This had to be the weirdest thing I ever tried to read outside of a high school textbook, I think. And I think everyone on Twitter pretty much like wholeheartedly agreed that this was just the weirdest fucking thing that has ever existed in all of humanity. And JVZ, for some reason, you are like somewhat excited about this.
Okay. Yeah, nerd alert coming up. But the draft lotteries, this happens in the NBA and the NHL. It's to prevent tanking, or to at least minimize the effects of tanking. So if you suck ass and you're the worst team, you don't just automatically get the first pick. So you don't spend the entire season trying to suck ass just to get the first pick. Yeah, so there's a lottery. The NHL lottery odds are pretty, they're pretty unforgiving to even the worst teams. I think the worst team has an 18.5% chance at getting the number one pick, which actually, when you so three teams are picked in the lottery. Those are like the top three picks, and then everybody else gets slotted based upon record. Normally, the teams that are involved in the lottery are the teams that don't make the playoffs, so teams out of the top 16. But since the NHL decided to take 24 teams to the playoffs this year, they had to figure out what to do with the remaining eight team that like that eight team overlap. So they left those teams in the lottery, and they said if one of those teams jumps up to one of the top three picks, then there's going to be a drawing among all the teams that lose in the first round of the playoffs, with equal odds to see who gets that pick. So it turns out one of those teams did jump, and they jumped all the way to the number one pick. So now a team that any of the eight teams that lose in the first round of the playoffs, which is going to include any team from the ninth best team in the league to the 24th best team in the league. Any one of those teams, if they lose in the first round of the playoffs, they get a 12% chance at getting the number one overall pick. The consensus this year is left winger Alexis Lafreniere. But yeah, like when there's a consensus number one overall guy, and they're going to go to a team that is not one of the worst teams in the league. In fact, it's going to go to a playoff team. And it could be as a team as good as the ninth best team in the league. Something got fucked up in this entire process. you know, and this is especially unforgiving to the Red Wings, who fell three spots from, you know, they had the best odds out of everybody to get the number one overall pick, but they're picking fourth instead.
Yeah, the Red Wings dropped fourth. They had by far the worst record in the NHL this year. Maybe the worst.
Not just record. This year, it is the worst record in the history of the salary cap era.
Yeah, yeah. This is what I was talking about previously on the show when I said, right now, when the Detroit teams are tanking, they're tanking. There's no half-ass tanking here.
Yeah,
but yeah, the
I wouldn't
draft
call it tanking. I think they just suck.
And, yeah, this like, was they, just, need they were help. Just they were just awful. Yeah. And the Wings had, I believe, a 50% chance to get the fourth overall pick, and an 18% chance 54%. To get 54, and an 18% chance to get the number one overall pick. And it just seems like, for whatever reason, the NHL opted to do something funky and weird with their draft that nobody was happy with. And I'm not just saying that as a Red Wings fan, because I will tell you, Red Wings fans are going absolutely fucking nuclear over this because of how bad the team was. And when your team is the absolute dirt-ass worst, you expect to get the number one overall pick in the draft. That's what's supposed to happen.
You need that help. And they're not just angling for that help. They needed that help. And yeah, and they don't get it. You know, and not only do they not get it, it's not like they fell from one to two, or like the Knicks this year, they fell all the way to three, even though they had the best odds. But they fell as far as they could possibly fall. That this was the worst possible result for them. And yeah, that sucks. It's, you know, at the very least, it's like you got eight extra teams in the playoffs. So maybe leave those eight extra teams out of the lottery. You know, they could have at least done that, but,
and we don't even know who has the number one overall
pick. We don't know who has the number one overall pick until the first round of the playoffs ends. And then they have to do another drawing. So it's
See, weird. Okay. Right. This is a show for the Fly By Night sports fans. And just here is a thing. Here is just a general thing. Just to throw out there to make this even more confusing, you generally know who has your number one pick before you go into the playoffs. The playoffs are a lock of like, hey, these are the teams who have done relatively well in the season, right? So they don't really need the extra, right? Like we can put them in the middle or lower in the draft because they made it to the fucking playoffs. That is just the most ridiculous shit ever. Just that part is ridiculous enough. The whole rest of it is bonkers bullshit. Like, it's just bonkers dumb bullshit. Like, I don't know if and this is reaching. This is really reaching here. I don't know if someone in the NFL was like, yo, let's just do some fucking crazy off the wall, just no one would expect it shit, so that everyone starts talking about hockey. Because guess what? Everyone is talking about hockey, at least.
Yeah.
Like, there is that. But I don't know if you go this batshit crazy to get people to talk about hockey.
Yeah. So, like, I think the NBA is going to have a similar situation coming up, but they didn't invite quite as many teams to the. Well, actually, no, they invited six teams, six extra teams to at least this resumption of play. But only like we'll know who made the playoffs after that. They're still going to only take 16 teams to the playoffs. It's just an 8-game resumption of the season. So I don't think it'll be. But they are doing the playoff. They are doing lottery odds based off of the records as they stand now, and not after this 8-game stretch. So, that just tweaks the odds a little bit overall. Yeah. Like, no playoff team, unless they traded for one of those picks. Like, no playoff team is going to end up with the number one overall pick next year. And to see James Wiseman on the Warriors next year, you're not going to, which is already bullshit. But it's. But at least the Warriors had to suck ass for a year to get to that spot. Like, you're not going to see, you know, potentially the ninth best team in the league end up with the number one overall pick. It's messy. They cocked it up, and
you know what? I don't know. It's such a weird thing, right? Because I feel like. We came into a lot of the start of a lot of the seasons where we felt like, right. So that's what I'm going to talk about, right? So, like, DJM just sends the note across, not excited for the Pistons draft chances, right? Where a lot of the Detroit teams, in the NFL, Miami worked really hard. The Knicks are always working hard to be the worst team in the NBA. Like, all these teams worked really hard and should get something for it. And now we're just throwing it all up in the air. Like, I'm confused. I'm so confused. It's because, I'm angry.
Because tanking is such an epidemic that, I mean, it's less less necessary in hockey. I feel like hockey doesn't need to do anything about it. Like the NBA still needs to do something about it because one good player can change an entire team. Whereas in hockey, like you get that one good player and they play on one line, or, you know, they're playing like 20 minutes out of a 60 minute game, something like that. So, but like, you know, for an NBA player, they take the floor the majority of the time. They're playing 38 to 40 minutes out of a 48 minute game, and there's only five people on the floor at a time. So it really matters in the NBA, and teams try really, really hard to play really, really shitty and rack up as many losses as they can. So it's necessary for that. I don't think it's necessary for hockey, and it's not necessary for the odds to be as unforgiving as they are in hockey either. Like,
yeah,
they can bump up that 18.5% to somewhere like 25%, which is where the NBA used to be, and or, you know, up to like 40% or so even. Because when you are the worst team ever in the history of the salary cap era, like it's
you hard. Deserve
like
you don't something you don't, for that.
You don't get there by effort. Like you get there because you are really, really fat.
You would think.
All right, let's talk about this last bullet point we have, which is talking about soccer. Soccer has been going on, well, at least the Premier League has been going on. We've been getting some pretty, actually really good Premier League soccer in the COVID era. So how's that? Let's talk about that, JPC.
Yeah, so we have a newly crowned Premier League champion, Liverpool, captured
garbage.
Their first... I agree, but they captured the first top division title in the... Yeah, our biases are showing. They captured their first top division title in the last 30 years. Their first ever under the Premier League name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they now have... before the Premier League, they were... they went through a big long run of dominance, and then... yeah, and then since then, it was kind of the era of Manchester United for a while, and then Arsenal, Chelsea, and then more recently, Manchester City got into the mix, and then 1 year, Leicester City snuck in there for some reason. And then, but yeah, it's Premier League title, which is 38 games, rack up as many points as you can, and so no playoffs or anything like that. You know, those are different competitions, but the actual league title, this is the first time that Liverpool has managed to win that in 30 years. So they are now second overall behind Manchester United, who has 20. Liverpool has 19 titles total. They've had a ton of success in the Champions League and in the FA Cup, but they just haven't had success in the league title until now. And they still have quite a few games left, and they had a pretty massive lead, and that's why COVID interrupting the Premier League season was especially a big deal.
So what you're saying is it deserves an asterisk.
Look, everything deserves an asterisk. Somebody at NBC Sports,
except
actually,
the only thing that will not have an asterisk is 2020 NBA Finals MVP J.R. Smith. That will go undisputed.
If it gets to the point where he gets the award, I think it will have to be undisputed at that point. Like, he's not going to get that by a fluke. But yeah, somebody at
LeBron ain't going to vote for him, so I'm fine.
Somebody at NBC Sports wrote an article about, like, you know, if whoever the NBA champion this year, it deserves an asterisk. And here's all the other NBA title wins that deserve an asterisk. And it's basically every title win from like the past 20 years deserves an asterisk in some way. Like, you know, the Warriors' first title, Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving didn't play. The year after that, you know, Draymond Green punched LeBron in the balls.
An asterisk, though?
I mean, you could argue injuries and stuff. So like last year with the Raptors, like you could say that they only won that because the Warriors didn't have a bunch of their best players. So it's
yeah,
like, there's always an argument to make about that's the point. Like, there's always an argument to make. So yeah. You know, every title deserves an asterisk, therefore none of them deserve an asterisk. And Liverpool, they got out to a great start to the season. They've clinched the title early. Usually it's like the second to last weekend or so when a team clinches the title, and they're so far ahead out ahead of everybody else that it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, to the point where even after COVID hit, people thought it would have been fair to just give them the title. But they've now clinched it mathematically, so they can
whatever,
hold their heads up high and celebrate, and that's the most I will ever praise them on this show.
Let's talk about women's soccer. So the NWSL has kicked off their Challenge Cup. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show, on what their preparations and things like that were for returning to play. Jesus Christ. So we've had a slew of games happen. You can watch all these games on CBS All Access if for some reason you want to fucking pay for that other than Star Trek. You can go ahead and do that. So we've had
I'm a little upset by that it's like buried behind a paywall, because what the fuck else is CBS going to show nowadays? They put the opening game on just regular CBS, but like at least put it on like CBS Sports or something, or the CBS Sports Network or whatever it's called. Or put it on Nickelodeon or something, because I think they own that too. So it's like they have so many networks that they can show it on, but you know, because it's women's sports, they just relegate it to the to behind a paywall. And it's the first American organized sports league to come back. So they have, let's give them their due.
You don't care about Big Brother? Big Brother is on CBS All Access,
but they don't have to show Big Brother all day. Like I want this on regular. The thing is, like, internationally everybody can watch it on Twitch, but we can't watch it on Twitch here in the States, so that's bullshit.
That definitely is bullshit, and it is one of those things. Like I said, other than Star Trek, which we are resident Star Trek fan, I was hoping would pop in and say if it's worth for that. Like,
people, I know people that have had it that have been pretty happy. So it's if you want your Star Trek stuff, then go for it. But
live long.
I do want to subscribe more to like the League Pass type services. Like the WNBA League Pass last year was like
I don't understand why in the realm of streaming services and things like that, I don't understand why the ball is not being pushed around, figuratively speaking, for some kind of a la carte or by sport subscription service. Like, I don't understand. Well, no, I do understand why, because we've talked about this on the show before and how aggressive TV deals are in this fucking realm, and how much goddamn capital TV has to just buy sports out. But I don't know, man. Like, we need to move towards the future with a lot of this shit. The fact that like this is behind some arbitrary paywall where you're only probably either going to be paying for the ability to watch a sport, or you're only already there to watch a TV show. Like, I either give me more for my dollar or put it somewhere that I'm already watching.
Yeah, because this NWSL Challenge Cup is going to be a pretty short thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe, I don't know what the actual cost of CBS All Access is, but maybe
let me see.
Maybe it's worth it. If it's like $10, then yeah, sure. $10 and I'll watch the entire soccer season.
$9.99 a month, boys. $9.99 a month.
Okay, that's not bad. Because I was also thinking of doing the same thing for like WNBA League Pass this year. If it was $17 last year for a full season, mm-hmm. this year they're only going to be playing 22 games each. So like it might get as low as like $5 for an entire season. And then you get to, you know, support something that I care about. And You know, and it does bother me, like, how little I know about, like, the individual players and involved. So, like, I feel like I should make a better effort to watch it. And, so, like, you know, those of you out there with, like, $5 or so to throw around, then, you know, like, I cancel your Patreon to this show and go watch the WNBA this year. Like, that's,
you know. That's big. That's, I mean, yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, and
you guys are just putting all sorts of stuff all out there tonight with Kaz on the Knicks jersey, JVZ in the Patreon.
Yeah, we put our money where our mouth is here.
But so here's my thing, right? And
for
and
entertainment purposes only. Entertainment purposes only.
Like, I am probably of a generation, and I would assume most people in this room are, and probably a good majority of the people that we know are. I go to work, I come home, I don't sit in front of my television. I sit again at a desk and in front of a screen, and I have multiple monitors, and half the time I'm watching something on one of those monitors, whether it's Netflix, whether it's, you know, Hulu or some kind of streaming services at some point throughout the night is on one of my monitors. And if there was a easier way, because come usually around football season, me and JVZ get up in the morning, we hop on Reddit and we find a Red Zone stream and we watch football during the day. Like, because there is no easy way to do that in this era, you know, and I don't know why sports is lagging behind technology. Like, they're
I mean, it's all just the deals that,
guys,
they have.
Like JVZ was going to say, it's not so much that it's lagging behind in terms of the technology. It's just that those terrestrial television rights are so massively expensive. We're talking billions of dollars.
And actually, like, that's the reason the NBA is playing these extra 8 games to come back, because they have to hit 70 games for all these teams to max out their local TV contracts.
Yeah, if they weren't playing these games, the NBA could potentially lose as much as $2 billion in revenue. So these are billions of dollars we're talking about when it comes to TV and moving them from one service to another. It's just too much money going around.
And I think, and also on top of that, this is like, as cable is dying out, live events and live sports are like the one way that they can try to retain viewers, so they are going to pay out the ass to try to do that. And so that's why we're seeing such a huge spike in how much TV money each of these sports is getting. And it's enough money that they can ignore the future for now. Eventually it won't be enough, but.
So let me put this out here to you, right? Because there is now in the streaming realm, and I had to look this up, right? So Hulu does have partnership with some sports TV brands, mostly Fox ones, right? There is also now,
like all those services, like the Hulu with live sports, and then I'm actually a subscriber to Fubo TV. Which I got it for like the World Cup a couple of years ago, but it was supposed to be centered around sports, and it turns out it's just fucking cable online, basically. which they just now got around to adding ESPN.
But then there's also,
they're all basically just your cable package online. Same thing with YouTube TV. It's, you get all the same channels you would with cable, but you just get it over the internet instead, and you're still restricted to local blackout restrictions. And so all the bullshit that comes from cable, it's the same thing. You just don't get it to your TV, you get it to your computer. So, and it still costs like $50 a month or so. So it's not that much of a deal. We're just replicating the same shit that we did before online.
Because like now I'm thinking it's frustrating. Because now I'm just like, well, now there's Disney Plus and Disney owns ESPN, but then I'm reading this, Disney has like deals with Hulu as well. But like
yeah, they are.
Disney has, but also Disney has money laying around, right? Apple has money laying around. Like, can like no, because I don't want to do that. Never mind.
You see, with them owning ESPN and how little content ends up on ESPN Plus.
Yeah,
you can't even watch The Last Dance on ESPN Plus. So, like, they're still waiting. They like I know they want to push things forward, but they're waiting for so many other things to fall in place. You can't even watch The Mighty Ducks on ESPN or on Disney Plus yet because they have to wait for their whatever fucking deal they have with whatever service it's streaming on to expire before they can put it on their service. Like it's you know, we're in a transition period right now. Oh, it's going to be painful before it actually starts settling down. And maybe 10 years from now, we can laugh at,
oh no, that's so long.
It's going to take that long. Like, I think when the Kings signed their latest TV deal, it was for like 20 years, something absurd like that.
God, it's so gross, man. All right, let's just do this last story because I'm getting sick now.
Yeah. Different teams, different leagues have come up with creative things to do to cover up the empty stands from not having fans due to COVID, and you see a lot of, you know, sponsorship banners now, or like they'll tarp over an entire section of seats and put some company's logo there, somebody who pays for it. But now different teams have started allowing fans to submit their own pictures for cardboard cutouts that they print out and put on the seats. So it actually makes it look like there's fans there. So that's kind of nice. Some teams are doing like really fancy stuff with Zoom and getting fans to call into the Zoom call during games, and that's a nice, fun way to be interactive. But yeah, I think in this particular example, Leeds United was selling their for £25, which is about $31. They were selling roughly 15,000 cardboard cutouts to display during the game. Unfortunately, they didn't vet them because one of the cardboard cutouts, in fact, it was one of the ones in the front row, turned out to be a picture, a nice clear cardboard cutout of Osama bin Laden.
All right. Look, I know you need the money, right? You need the money. That's fine, right? You take the cash, whatever. You got to put that man like six rows back. You got to put that man like six rows back behind somebody else's head. All right. Like, you can't get caught. You put him front and fucking center, bro. Like,
yeah, it's you gotta, I don't know, like, you have to have somebody inspecting these, right? Because like, somebody has to be able to determine whether these are loot or not. Like, you can't have,
is it yeah, but see, that's that dumb,
you can't
thing
have somebody uploading a penis, like, it's
right, like, but it's probably one of those things, yeah, you got so many people worried looking out for a penis that the other things slip through the cracks.
But I mean, this is like one of the most famous faces.
But one of those things that is it more famous to us because of our American bullshit?
I mean, yeah, the entire world got caught up in the quote unquote war on terror. So I think, you know, it's been a dominant part of our lives in the entire post 9/11 era. So I think, I don't know, I feel like people should recognize that face, or at the very least, like you said, like, all these, go through all the front row ones and make sure there's nothing there that is gonna piss anybody off. If it's further back, then yeah, sure, maybe it's not as big a deal. But I mean, there was that story of like the Korean team that put out that accidentally put out sex dolls as mannequins out there, and which, I don't know, like, if
I mean, look, man, you ran out of mannequins.
It's not currently being used for sex. It's just a doll. So.
Right. It's just a fucking flotation device at that point.
But people have eagle eyes out there, and somebody's going to notice. And it only takes one person to notice and then post about it online for it to go viral. You gotta check this shit.
Motherfuckers got Zoom in enhance on the internet nowadays. You can't just be out here just doing any old willy nilly shit. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't know. Just be better, I guess. There's really nothing I feel like I can say to it. It's just like be better at vetting your shit.
So all of Mark Cuban's plans to pipe in audio directly from fans in the game, like, no, just come up with something. Like,
I don't this is my thing, right? And conspiracy theories abound. I just think too many of these companies have too many yes men. They just need to hire a no man. They just need to hire somebody whose job it is to always say no, right? Like, it just hire a guy named Jim, and it is his job to always be like, no, it's a bad idea. Like, and come up with a reason why. Like,
wants to do a radical new TV deal with a nice online company, and then Jim says no, because
Jim's job is to look. Stuff. Jim's job is to look for the bad. That's all his job should be, right? So he has to always look for the worst part of that deal or whatever. And if he can't find a bad, then it should only be a positive from there.
Yeah. Well, what happens if somebody uploads an offensive picture is a question that should have come up.
And that would have been Jim's job. Jim would have been like, yeah, but what if somebody uploads, like, you know, a picture of a terrorist. Yeah. Or Jared from Subway. Like, oh, yeah, you know what? Shit. We got to vet those. You know, you got to do your due diligence. Hire your Jims out there, ladies and gentlemen. That's, I think, of all the things we've learned today, hire a Jim. Because then none of this stuff in today's show would have been a fucking problem. Thank you guys for listening.
I was going to say thank you all for vetting us. Head on over to sportsoddsandends.com if you want to read these stories in detail. You can hit us up on Twitter, twitter.com/JVZY for me, /KingKaz for Kaz, call me DJM for DJM. Patreon.com/sportsoddsandends if you want to support the show financially, but don't do it at the expense of money that you would use to support the WNBA or other sports leagues. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Also, follow Bubba Wallace on Twitter. It's good times.
Oh, yeah.
Manchester City, pride in battle.
All right, get out.